At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Authorities say the suspected Austin bomber blew himself up overnight in his vehicle as a SWAT team closed in on him. Investigators have identified the suspect as 24-year-old Mark Anthony Condit, who they believe made the bombs used in the four Austin attacks this month, which killed two people and injured four others. This morning, law enforcement arrived at the home of the suspect's parents in suburban Austin. KERA's Courtney Collins spoke with one of his childhood friends, who now lives in Dallas.
Jeremiah Jensen and Mark Anthony Condit used to be tight. That was before Jensen left Pflugerville for college, SMU in Dallas. It had been a few years since they'd spoken. Then came Wednesday's news about the man authorities suspect is behind the recent string of bombings in Austin.
I woke up this morning and had about 10 reporters telling me that my friend was a serial murderer.
Jensen, a former KERA intern, was good friends with Condit when they were in their late teens. They were part of the same homeschool community and both belonged to Austin Stone Community Church. Their families often had lunch together after Sunday services.
People have asked me if I saw this coming or if he exhibited any tendencies that would have made me think that he was capable of something like this, and the answer is no.
Jensen says Condit struggled socially.
He could come off as kind of dominant and pugnacious in conversation. However, as he got to know you and as he became more comfortable over the couple of years that I knew him, he started to soften.
Jensen describes Condit as a philosophical guy, a deep thinker. He was athletic but didn't really play any organized sports. He was happy. Jensen wonders what changed since they fell out of touch.
Maybe he was lonely when he died, and I don't know why he did what he did. I don't know why he succumbed to hatred or the loneliness or the sadness.
Jensen used to spend a lot of time with Condit and assumed he would go on to have a good life.
He's not a psychopath. Something broke him. Something broke him, and I don't know what that was.
As investigators work to piece together a motive and loved ones grieve the victims of these bombings, friends of Mark Anthony Condit are at a loss to reconcile the person they knew with the person authorities believe terrorized a city for 3 weeks. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Learn more about the victims of the Austin bombings. Check out profiles of their lives at KERANews.org. The Dallas City Council today continued its debate over what to do with the city's Confederate monuments. Council members did not take a vote on whether to move a statue of Robert E. Lee from storage to a museum in White Settlement. And there was disagreement over what to do with the downtown Confederate War Memorial. It's in Pioneer Park Cemetery. The task force has recommended moving the memorial to a museum. City staff instead proposed keeping it in place and adding signs for context. Councilmember Omar Navarez pointed out the memorial wasn't originally located in Pioneer Park Cemetery. It could be moved again. He also says African Americans and Latinos haven't had the opportunity to write their history, so they've had to seek it elsewhere.
I'm a gay Latino male. I have to go research my history. Yeah. And that history that my grandmother used to tell me of Dallas was that she remembered when she would go into places and the signs would say, no Mexicans or dogs allowed.
The task force recommends renaming Lee Parkway, and city staff agree. But a number of residents spoke out in opposition at today's council briefing. They had the support of Councilmember Ricky Callahan.
Majority of the people that live on that street, and this is a democracy, they don't want it changed. And it doesn't say Robert Edward Lee. It doesn't say General Lee. It doesn't say anything about the Confederacy. Just leave that street alone.
Council members agree that Dallas needs to acknowledge its racial past and give a full picture of the city's history. Mayor Mike Rawlings says he'll bring recommendations to a vote as early as next month. The number of people sleeping on the streets in North Texas continues to grow. That's according to results from the annual Homeless Point in Time count, which took place in January. KERA's Stephanie Quayle reports on findings presented today at the State of the Homeless Address.
Overall homelessness, which includes everyone on the street, in emergency shelters, and in transitional housing, has increased over the past year by 9%. That means there are more than 4,000 people on any given night in Dallas and Collin counties who don't have a stable place to live. The most surprising number, those sleeping on the street with no housing at all. That number spiked again by 23%. Cindy Crane is CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, which spearheaded the count, and and puts on the State of the Homeless address every year. Crane is also a member of KERE's Community Advisory Board.
Because we don't have very large encampments anymore, I was really hoping for a reduction. But understanding what's going on all across urban America, Dallas's results matched with those increases that we're seeing across America.
Also in keeping with national trends is the demographic breakdown of homelessness in Dallas. The Homeless Alliance, in partnership with the Massachusetts-based Center for Social Innovation, found that African Americans are disproportionately homeless. They make up 66% of the Dallas homeless population, 40% of those in poverty, yet are only about a quarter of the total population. Crane says that means the story about poverty being the sole driver of homelessness is wrong.
There's other systemic things going on. Access to employment that improves, access to jobs that give you retirement so as you age you don't end up homeless, mass incarceration, and when you get out, the complete inability to find a sustainable job or even find housing.
The report also found the homeless population is getting older and that families are staying homeless for longer. On the other hand, the number of chronically homeless and homeless veterans has dropped. Crane says without enough housing, homelessness can't improve in Dallas.
It's safe, affordable, and accessible housing that is in very much shortfall. It's also important to know that this is just not the Dallas experience. We're finding it all over the United States, in Fort Worth, in Austin, Detroit. Urban America has an extraordinary challenge. The housing is just not affordable.
Crane says her organization will continue to encourage building and finding permanent supportive housing, which provides necessary services to the homeless. Experts say it is the most effective way to end homelessness. Stephanie Kuo, KERE News.
Tarrant County will be presenting the results of its point-in-time count tomorrow morning. And when she started yoga, Jessamine Stanley says she was a fat teenager who stuck out like a sore thumb. Now, after years of practice, she's stronger, more flexible, and still happens to be fat. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with the yoga teacher about why she uses that word to describe herself.
Fat just means large. It doesn't mean anything more than that. But when we think of the word fat, you're thinking of stupid. You're thinking of ugly. I cannot tell you the number of people who have told me, like, you're not fat, you're beautiful. And I'm like, why can't I be fat and beautiful?
As if they're mutually exclusive.
Exactly. For me, owning the word fat and really taking the bullets out of that particular weapon, it is a way to show that I am powerful, I am strong. Because whenever you start to say, like, okay, so I'm fat, what else am I? I can also be a runner. I can also be a yoga practitioner. I can also go skydiving. There's so many different things that you can do in this body that we then are limited by that word. And I just think that it's ridiculous to allow words to be the be-all, end-all of your life. So, yes, I'm fat.
This episode of Think explores what it feels like to be the only one. Also part of the conversation are a black woman who hiked the Appalachian Trail and a left-hander living in a right-handed world. It re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. And coming up tomorrow morning, as the women's liberation movement picked up steam in the early 1970s, so did a wave of feminist filmmakers. This weekend, a selection of those films will play in Richardson, and our big screen team previews the event with its curator. That interview tomorrow morning at 8:23 during Morning Edition. For the evening, partly cloudy skies, should be a low around 50 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 77. At 6:30, this is KERA News.